Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello there.
Hello, hello. All right, Devin, what do you got for us today?
Shit in, shit out.
Sweet and to the point.
You put shit in, you get shit out.
Man, that is really to the point of like a big percentage of what I don't know what the world is based on right now. Like, man, everything, consumerism, what things are made, how things are made, how like countries are run.
I was watching last night. I kind of heard it before, but not. Maybe I heard it in a different way, or garbage in, garbage out, or crap in, crap out. Mm-hmm. Shit hits a little harder, so I like that one. Yeah. It was a pizza maker on what's that Netflix show? Something chef.
I don't know.
Come on. It's a series.
Top Chef.
No. It's a good like documentary series about like the greatest makers of things in the world. It's really beautifully done.
Nice.
But they're doing a pizza guy, and that's what he said. Nice. People ask him the secret for good pizza. And he said, "Well, it's shit in, shit out. So just get the best ingredients, and then you know, cook your pizza right."
Yeah.
It's also like a, I think it's an old like production term too for like getting things done in camera and not just saying we'll do it later, like we'll fix it later,
right?
It's like now you're just battling with something. So if you put shit in the camera, you know, you're gonna get shit out of the camera, your end product, and then obviously everything else in the world.
Yeah, and you know, I guess like the more advanced technology gets with whatever we can make on the computer to make imagery and, you know, in camera better. But even still, like the best and the most beautiful looking cinema even now is stuff where you're using real stuff and you're putting the time and effort into making and setting up real stuff to put real stuff in to get real stuff out.
Yeah.
And not just,
real in, real out.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Not just digital and effects and things like that. Special effects.
Ugh.
Even like if we go back to the Mandalorian with what's it called, the Unreal Engine or whatever, the they developed the
void or whatever, you know, their giant
giant screens and
LED screens, and then a video game engine that can the perspective and angles can change in real time in relation to where your camera's moving.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super cool.
That was the problem with rear projected things.
Right.
Which LED is kind of, that's all it is, but it can move quickly like a computer screen.
Right.
But once you started to move the camera, it didn't look real anymore. You had to, obviously a fixed perspective is easier to do than a moving perspective.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because then you're like, it was all pre-recorded, right? So it's not like you're going to put in something that's going to react to your camera. Right, then you Unreal Engine reacts to the camera. Things move together.
Right, right. The perspective changes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Thinking about of that just in general, I've started playing Halo again in the last couple weeks. Because I was like, I wanted to play Halo, and I had rented Halo 5 from the library, and I played through that, but that's not two-player. And then so I was like, oh, we got to rent something else. But the library didn't have any of the other Halos. And then I realized that like the Xbox that you gave me has the Halo, has the Master Chief set on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it's all downloaded on the system. So, or at least most of them. I think 4 wasn't there, but like 1 through 3 and 5 were there. So Corinne and I have been playing Halo 1, which I just thought was fun. So we've been playing co-op together.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I was like, oh, man. And I kind of like, I played, I've been playing Halo 3 because I've never played it before. So I played through that one. Yeah. And then at the same time when Corinne and I would play together, we would play Halo 1. And like, I'd forgotten that the Flood was part of Halo 1. So like, because you play like half the game without the Flood, you're just fighting the Covenant, and then the Flood comes in, and it's just like a horror movie. You're just like in this like areas where the Flood keep coming and coming and coming.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, so much fun. And she and I run around, blast. We're like, come on, let's go. She was like getting all into it, getting really good. It was great.
Yeah. Halo.
Yeah, I know. It's great. And then, you know, we'll get like, she'll get used to like having a good gun, you know, like the battle rifle or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or, and then like, and then you get like a plasma, you know, pistol or whatever. And she's like, ah, that's horrible. I can't do anything. I'm like, we'll just die and you'll get respawned with 2 reloads of your battle rifle.
Yeah. Halo is the reason I bought the original Xbox.
Oh, man.
It's probably so the reason a lot of people bought the Xbox.
Yeah, we had fun talking with Nate Walpole at Blade Show, and he was one of the main animators on the whole the whole Halo series. So it was fun. He actually just reached out to me a couple days ago just to say like, hey, you know, I just wanted to say hey, and like it was cool meeting you and chat with you guys and all. And I let him know that Corinne and I had been playing Halo. I was like, oh, it's been awesome to play with my teenage daughter now.
Right.
He was like, right on.
The classic, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. You shit in, shit out.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. And, you know, like, even, I mean, obviously that goes into making things. Like you put good quality product and good, like, quality and, you know, materials. You can get a good quality thing out. But also, you know, if you put the time and effort in, you get the outcome that you want, right? The more time, the more you put into it, the more you can get out of it. And I think that's one of the things that is important in everything that I do is just putting a little bit extra time and effort into it to make sure that I'm getting out something that I can be like proud of and that I could like show someone to be proud of, you know. Whoa. And that doesn't, that doesn't always happen, but you know, that's the goal, is to be able to put in the little bit extra effort, time and effort and you know, inspiration and enthusiasm into the pieces you work on as an artist or as a creator, as a craftsman, to come up with something that comes out better, you know, and just take a little bit extra time and be like, okay, well, we could do it this way, but I could also do it this other way that might take a little bit longer, but in the end, it's going to look better. So,
now, how do you feel about someone who just wants to get it done? Kind of our dad's approach of good enough.
I think
you got a lot to do. I got a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah.
I got 4 kids.
I think there's a time and place. Yeah. I think there's a time and place for that. Yeah. You know, if there's something that just needs to get done, it doesn't, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a mentality. It's your own personal desire. Like, so if someone is happy with getting just something done just for the practical use out of what it is, that's fine. But in that same vein, like I could do that same thing and probably want to do it, just add a little bit extra more time and effort to it and be that much happier for myself out of the outcome. And I'm not saying I'm any happier than our dad would be for his outcome, you know, like he's perfectly happy, but it's just a different level of expectation, you know, like what you expect out of yourself, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit more of an old school thing. It's like maybe putting trim up after you've painted or something like that is the same as changing the oil in your car. It just has to get done.
Yeah, right.
Like, yeah, it's not going to be, well, changing your oil, maybe that's a bad explanation. It's just like another chore.
Yeah, exactly. Taking
the trash out, doing this, and putting in some shelves in the closet today.
Right.
They're all just chores that got to get done, and I have limited time, so I'm just going to, this is what I got.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think your mindset of being an artist or someone's mindset being a little OCD or someone being a little bit of a perfectionist. Like, oh, I don't know. that can be done better, but
right.
Maybe yeah. not everyone has the luxury, even though it's not necessarily luxury. You know, it's
yeah. Like I said, I think it's just different levels of expectation for yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, like another example with our dad is that like anytime our mom wants something to be done nicely around the house, she'll ask dad to ask me to help him. She's like, well, why don't you just bring Dustin up and have him help you? And he's like, well, I could do it fine. She's like, yeah, I know you could, but Dustin's going to do it in a way that I would want it done. So like, you Maybe. Know, it's like her level of expectation, except, you know, like,
except for the time when we put the flooring in.
Yeah. Well,
which was kind of, I mean, silly, I guess I had never put down that type of flooring.
Right. Yeah.
That lock in kind of flooring that everyone uses now.
Yeah, the like yeah. the pergo wood yeah. flooring.
And we had spent the time to line up the joints.
Yeah,
and that's just not what people really right. normally want. And it
you want it work. To look like wood, so you
want
it to
look random. Yeah, yeah, not right.
more
not
organic.
Perfect. And yeah. we took time to make it perfect, and then.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean. Upset. Yeah. Well, she wasn't upset. She was just like, that's not how it needs
to
be done.
She was upset.
I think she was basing it off of what she read. Was like, this is the way it should be done. which is fine.
No, and it is, I mean, it is the way it should be done. It's true. Yeah. And we just didn't look into it. It was just something else that had to be done. He right. guys had put their flooring in, and we kind of made a decision on the fly. Like, I think that looks fine. This kind of, yeah, lined up nice.
Yeah.
Kind of like you would do tile, every other one half space.
Right,
kind of
exactly.
Like, oh, that yeah. looks good. But that's not yeah. how it should be. And then we redid it all the next day.
Yeah. Yeah, it was not fun.
And I was, yeah, I wasn't, you were so much nicer. Not that I would ever be mean or disrespectful to mom.
Right.
But she was upset. And I'm not going to be like, damn it, Lara. I was just like, oh, like, so. Like,
yeah, right, exactly.
Really, it's fine. Like, what's wrong with it? It looks good. I think it looks good. We took the time. Well, no, it's not how I want it. And, I'm like, I don't even think we have enough wood to do it, you know. No, I think we do. And I think, like, can you please? Like,
yeah, well, that's
I'm
the
like,
thing.
Yeah,
you know?
No,
it's like,
we'll
yeah.
do it. That's fine.
Well, that again, that's like her expectation, right? So she had expectation for to have it get done a certain way. And then so she was willing to put in the effort or put in our effort to get yeah, it done that way.
And then you came in. I was like, well, let's see what the guys think, you know, the rest of them.
Yeah.
Let's just see what they say. Mom's like, I think, Dust, I'm sorry, I think we should have it this way, not that we, like, you're like, okay, all right, yeah. I was like, damn it. You're so nice about it. You didn't say anything.
Yeah, well, no, I was like, ha, that's funny.
Oh,
yeah,
that's you
a
did
funny joke.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, what? Like, really have to tear the whole thing up?
See, well, you didn't even say like, that. You were much nicer about it. You
I,
were like,
no, I remember
you were like, okay,
talking about, yeah. like, I mean, yeah, I guess I understood, but I also was like, I was frustrated because I feel like mom was basing off of her, what she wanted based off of what other people said it should be.
Yeah.
And not okay. her own opinion. You know what I mean? And that's what frustrated me. I was like, yeah, but she's like, yeah, but yeah. Everything I've read said that, it, you know, you want it to look like this. I'm like, well.
I mean,
yeah,
that's a
what
that
do we
a
want
fair,
it to look like?
That is a fair point. Yeah, and we're also fighting for it. Like, oh, we think it looks good this way.
Yeah.
But I think she was right, especially with that type of flooring. It's harder to notice the repeats of pattern, you know, in the fake right. wood flooring if you don't have it all lined up like that. But anyway,
yeah.
it turned yeah. out okay, and now I own the floor, so I'm glad it's done.
You're
that
like,
way.
I'm helping.
Good job, fellas.
Yeah, again, you know, that was like, well, you know, we put in extra time to get that one done, so that way we got good, you know, whatever out of it. And yeah, I guess the in the end, the frustrating part was like we had spent all the time, but mom wasn't there that day to like stop us. So it was more like our yeah. knees are killing us. You know, we spent a whole day.
It was, like, it was, yeah. I mean, we spent a long time doing it and really yeah. wrestled with the pergo.
Yeah,
and really put in a lot of work, and then we. It was also a mindset of us coming in and we're going downhill. We only have a third of what
yeah,
the whole
yeah,
project
exactly.
left.
Yeah.
And we're rolling. So for someone to say, yeah, not only are you not done, you've got to go back and do it and do it differently.
Start all over.
And you yeah. have to rip up what you did and somehow try to keep right. it all. Like without, because all those little bullshit edges that aren't like strong that you have to snap in are so like sensitive that if you, you know, we kind of muscle it in sometimes, and some of the stuff bends and cracks.
So when you take it apart,
but once it's down, it's down. You're like, that doesn't matter. It can be a little beat up.
Well, that's I guess that's another perspective too. Is like, you know, as the maker, you're willing to hide those things because you can hide them. Mm-hmm. You know, you figure out ways to hide them so that way the end client, quote unquote, you know, doesn't know it's there, and they don't need to know. You know, because it doesn't matter. You know, it's like you put something together and it works and it looks great at the end, and that's what matters.
Yeah, you know, it's going to cover it. You've got all that stuff, all those tricks to cover stuff. And that's kind of how it works. But if you rip everything up. Yeah. And try to replace the stuff you covered, then it gets a little bit more iffy. Like, ooh, that wasn't right these, the first time. Now it's really not going to.
Yeah.
These tongue and grooves aren't going to fit. Anyway, we got it done. A totally different track. You know the O's score right now? Was that a no?
Okay. I did not. No.
Orioles Yankees, 13-0.
Nice.
In the fifth.
Heck yeah, dang. Yeah, I was listening to the game yesterday evening, and when they came, or they were, I guess they were down by two, and then they scored four runs, so they were up 4-2, and then the Yankees hit a home run in the eighth, made it 4-3, and then I looked today, and I saw that the Royals won 6-3, so we got a homer in the ninth, which I didn't see, but pretty sweet. And then I was just, I kind of popped in, on the game or right before the game. I was listening to the radio, but I hadn't checked it for a little while. So 13-0, nice.
Yeah. I mean, we had a bit of a slide. We had what? We had lost three games in a row. That was the most we had lost all year, was three games in a row, and then, or maybe four. But, it, you know, we're trying to get up to first, beat the Rays. Yankees are behind us, Blue Jays, then Red Sox, all with pretty good
records,
pretty good overall records. But the best thing is... Jeff Fader's Instagram this year. No Yankees highlights. Nothing.
He's all about he's all about the Nets for a while, and they went to.
But I feel like all NBA last playoffs. Year was awesome. The Yankees. Even though, see, for a Yankees fan, the Yankees being in third place, even if they're only three games back, is like a total failure. Even halfway through the season, it's just like dejection. Like, this is the worst thing ever. But it's kind of nice not to see. It's like Yankees fans being obnoxiously like hooting and hollering over Yankees wins is the most annoying thing. And having said that, it makes me understand a little bit when Americans talk about how great America is, which I'm in that camp. I love this country, and you know, at times I guess I'm not obnoxious, but like a USA chant is fine, flying a flag is fine. Like I'm down with all that, but it's like other countries, like we know,
like, we get it
you've been number one for a while, or they may not say that, then they pick you apart at all this stuff, but they know and we know. So Yankees fans, it's kind of the same thing.
They know and we all know, but you know, it's like,
you know, we're the best, and you know what, you can pick us apart, but we're still gonna win, we're gonna keep winning. But the
most money
that,
we're gonna keep
the fact that they're behind and and have the biggest payroll in the MLB.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's funny, but so
it's funny. So
there you go, Jeff. He'll start up. You know, once if they pass us, you'll see those Instagram posts coming.
Right. Exactly. gotta love Baltimore.
Baltimore, we don't get many winning cities seasons.
So. I know it's been a long time, so it's been fun, man. It's been a good season. It's funny. I was listening to the radio today, and I heard them reference the Orioles as the baby birds. I think that's just because it's like so many young. They're so young. Our team is so young and fresh.
Called up another guy.
Yeah,
Colton Cowser. Him up. He got his first RBI last night, anyway. So not a baseball podcast, but it is related to another maker, and you know, I'm feeling good about that.
Speaking of Jeff Vader, I was just listening to his interview today with Riley Kirkpatrick, who's a farrier out in Oregon and has kind of blown up on Instagram and does really cool stuff and like simple reels of blacksmithing and, you know, making like he'll do like tongs and axes and, you know, whatever, just kind of normal stuff you would use. But it's a good interview. I was about halfway through it and just interesting hearing him talk about, you know, his love for horses. And that's really how, like, why he got into it and how, like, you know, he builds these relationships with his horses and they're like, you know, years and years of working with the same horse every 6 weeks, you know, shoeing him and changing the shoes and stuff and every build up these weeks. Relationships, which is pretty crazy. I know. Right. Yeah. Mm. And I saw Stephen Ranella. He just recently reached out to Riley to have him make a small axe that Daniel Boone would carry.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and Riley was like, how honored, you know, like this guy who has like made such a difference in, you know, like a big, you know, difference in the world of hunting and, you know.
Yeah, that's great.
Ecology and whatnot. So he was like, it's pretty cool. It was a cool axe too. It was just like a regular kind of small forest axe type thing. But the handle, he had like, if you imagine at the end of the handle where the palm swell is, it was like a circle or like a, I don't know what's that shape, like a hockey puck, but mm-hmm. rounded on all the sides, you know, like whatever that is, like a burger, you know, like that type of thing, flat and round with rounded sides. And it was like, yeah, like offset to the front, you know, so mm-hmm. that way it would like kind of created the palm swell at the bottom, but it was just like this kind of round flat circle. It was cool. I was like, oh, that's weird looking, but it was interesting. And then I like went back and looked at it again after I was like scrolling back through his Instagram today, just looking at stuff as I was listening to the podcast, and I saw that one again. And then I realized that he had written in it that like that was the one he was making for Stephen Ranella.
Yeah, cool.
Which is right cool. On. Yeah, but
yeah, let's get that guy on, Steve Ranella.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Actually, I'd be very intimidated because he runs like he is a great guy, but you know, you listen to his podcast, he runs it like he's mm-hmm. like he runs a tight ship. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, no, that's not how it's gonna be. We're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. It's in a good, like, it's not in a nasty way,
yeah, right?
But you know, he means it. He's just like, well, no, that's not how we're gonna do it.
Right.
This is still like, my company.
Yeah,
I'm still,
yeah, exactly. He's the boss.
No, he's great entertainer.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, listening to like the what are they called, the trivia ones that we had listened mm-hmm, to mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, listening to those and just hearing him talk on there, like he doesn't come across as like an asshole. He just comes across as confident and right, like right. He understands that this is his company that he built, and you know, like he's like, ah, you know, he's just like speak up and do whatever, and you know, it's all like in a good way. It's all just in a very like positive, like this is the type of boss you want, you know. Like,
yeah, yeah. No, like he always speaks confident. His mind.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be passive aggressive. He will just speak his mind and let it be yeah. known. And most, they're all friends anyway,
right? Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
They are also employees and employer, but they're hunting buddies and yeah. friends. I think friends first, and then
yeah, right.
But
yeah,
yeah. So what have we been up to?
What have we been up to? I've been just enjoying my summer break so far. It's been really nice and feeling really productive some days and feeling really not productive other days. Just like yesterday, I didn't do anything. Just
there you go.
You know, actually, I guess I went sailing in the evening. And even that, we didn't do anything. Oh my gosh, it was so hot. It was like 100 degrees out and no wind on the water. We just sat there. And drifted, literally sailed backwards for like 5 minutes, actually for like 20 minutes. We like, the race started, there was no wind, and there was discussion on whether or not we would postpone or even like, you know, just cancel the race. And so we waited, I think, about 25 minutes before they canceled. But in that amount of time, we like sailed up. They postponed the race about 10 minutes. So at about 8 minutes, we turned on our engine and we moved closer to the start line. Because you have to have your engine off within 5 minutes of the race start.
Right.
So we're like, oh, there's a delay. Let's turn on our engine. We'll move up a little bit, then we'll turn our engine off. So we actually just motored up closer to the start line because everyone was just sitting, like, not going anywhere. And then in the 25 minutes it took them to cancel the race, we moved back like 300 yards, just drifting backwards on the current away from the line. We even threw out our anchor at one point and we're just like, kunk, like dropped it because we were like, well, we can't go any backward further. And we're like about to drift into a mark behind us. So we like, it was crazy. And then they just canceled the race and we're like, oh man, it was just so hot. And ugh,
I know.
Everybody was sweaty. It was rough. It's been hot. It's been hot here.
Oh, yeah. And it makes it a little bit worse because it's been so mild, you know, up until now. It's been like the coolest summer.
Nicest spring. And exactly.
And it's just stayed like 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Low 80s. Okay humidity. Not crazy humid like it can get here on the East Coast. And then now it's just unleashed.
I know, it's like, you know, 90 with a real feel of 100 because it's so humid. Oh my gosh. I think that's the other reason why I haven't done anything over the last like week and a half, really. It's because like it's just the giving the momentum to get up and go outside. Like I'll take the dogs out and be like, oh, I'll go sit outside and read my book or something. And I'm out there for like 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, I can't do this. It's just too hot out here. And the dogs are like laying on the ground, the grass next to me, like panting, like, what are we doing?
Help us.
I'm like, all right, let's go inside. And they run to the door. Like, oh, thank goodness. Yeah. It's just been crazy hot, but so. I've been able to get down the shop a little bit and, I have all the sheep shear knives, because I had like 7 or 8 pairs of sheep shears that I cut out, and this is about a month and a half ago. I got them all kind of prepped and ready, did ground all the bevels, and so everything is ready. Like all the sharp side is ready. I'd have to shape and prep all the handles, which like when I'm doing 1 or 2, it's not a big deal, but doing, I think I have 10 or 12 maybe. And it's just a lot of like hand sanding, because the way that the handles are, and if you watch the video, you know, I shape all the handles to fit into the metal part of the handle on the sheep shear knife, and then they're all faceted, so and to be able to I can't like sand them and clean them up after I attach them to the metal part of the handle, because then there's a lip, the metal handle creates a lip, so I'd have to like get it and sand all around that lip, and I don't want to sand the metal part. So I got to do a lot of that finishing on the handle before I can put it on to the blade. And it's just a lot when you're doing, you know, like 12 knives and everyone has to be like hand sanded down to, you know, like 500 or 600 grit and then polished on the buffing wheel. And so a lot of hand sanding, but I'm getting there and, you know, getting there because I want to finish up a few of them at least, or have them kind of partially done, because we just got a Laser Pecker 3 from Laser Pecker. We're doing a collaboration, a sponsored video with Laser Pecker. They sent
you
over.
You got a Laser Pecker 3.
Well, you know, I got a Laser Pecker 3. You got a digital projector, which we made a box for. So
that's right. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't have said, I wouldn't have said wait.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you want to use it, you can use it.
Yeah. I might have something. I want. There was something the other day I was thinking about, like, ooh, if I had a could laser. Put something on it.
Yeah. And also, like, if we get, you know, like, we could get a metal business cards and then laser etch stuff on them, which would be cool.
Oh, yeah. Do you have, well, it depends. Do you have any flat aluminum or steel?
Yes.
And I know that, but in like like maybe a 2 foot,
yeah,
a 2 foot
square.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess we could cut it in square or circle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have. So actually, I just got some big scrap pieces of aluminum from Nicole. They're like, like 3/32 or maybe like they're not quite an 1/8 thick, but they're, you know, made just under more than a 1/16. So right
them,
between
could
that,
you cut them into a circle.
Yeah.
Or one.
And cut them over. Yeah. Cause I have a couple big pieces that she had like scrap over left over from signs. And she was like, you want some big flat aluminum? I was like, yeah, always like, you know, just, I always have uses for flat sheets of, especially aluminum. Cause you can change and make brackets or do whatever, you know? Like,
yeah. You can work with them. Yeah.
Yeah. Like we made the handle for the For the little microphone and stuff like that.
Oh, right, know, right. So. For the janky, what did Duress yeah. say?
Janky microphone holder.
This little janky microphone. You know,
he's like, but I see how you made it, and you work backwards. I see you took a flat sheet and you're out
of it. Which was great for that video because we were thinking, not that someone mentioned it, but like, hey, we're asking all these maker questions, and we're going to be shoving a mic into their face. Why don't we make, because we talked about how simple a thing it was.
Yeah, right.
And we were going like, why is Rode charging whatever it was, $80
Yeah.
for a pole with something flat on it that you can attach a mic to, right?
Yeah.
And we're like, well, why don't we make it? And it'll be better to make it. It'd be cool. And then
yeah, we just need a flat spot.
The only like person to, clip it to on, shout it out is Jimmy DiResta. You know, I see you got this here, this little, you know, flat thing.
Janky handmade microphone.
I see that you twisted it over. And, you know, I was like,
he's like, you're finding inspiration anywhere. He's like, yeah. I'm looking at what you made right here, and I'm seeing like, how you made it, and I'm finding like, inspiration.
Perfect.
Like,
perfect. Yeah. This is why.
This is why we made it. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So, yeah.
If you can do that, there's that space above the door. Caitlin wants to make a sign for the thing.
Yeah, right on.
Like O'Hara Farms or something. That's what I suggested. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
You know, one is O'Hara Farms. Yeah,
O'Hara Farms. That's great.
Yeah. And then I was thinking, well, I guess I can't string it straight down. I was thinking about just hanging it. Right. Letting it, you know, it could spin and stuff. Have some type have some type of connection.
Yeah, swivel.
Spin it and like spin and move, you know.
Yeah, just kind of
dangle there. But be something there so deer can't jump through it or, you know.
Right, it just gives them a little
bit
of deterrent.
That's the one big gap left.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be, you just like, you know, put a swivel on it, like even like a, you know, like a fishing swivel. They got the little like metal swivels. You just hang just one of those from one spot.
And a little hook.
You're gonna do like a cricket sign thing.
She'll do some type of cricket title.
That'd be sweet.
My suggestion was just do the cricket what you want, and then spray paint over it.
Right.
Peel the stickers off. It looks real clean. Then you have the metal on there. But she didn't. She was like, "Well, if it's metal, I want it to look like metal."
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It's like, it just depends on what you want. Like, if you want the letters to be metal and the whole sign to be a color, then you do it the other way. Use it as a stencil. Or, you know, otherwise you use it as a sticker if you want the positive. Right. Yeah,
and the stickers are fine. They've got really heavy doodle vinyl.
Yeah, right.
So it should be just fine. She's like, but I want it to look kind of rough. And I was like, well, all right. Like, I don't know. You could, like, it takes time to do that. Or you, like, hammer in the surface and spray paint it and then grind off some of it so you have like the pitted areas with still dirt or paint in them. I was like, I don't know. We'll see.
if you want to age the aluminum first, that's actually not a bad idea. Yeah, like do a bunch of, you know, like scar the surface up and then spray it and sand it.
Well, you could like hammer it. You could just
do scratch it across gravel. You can, you know, like yeah, you could do anything to mar the surface and go Adam Savage style, you know, add that age and patina to it.
Yeah. So she wants to do that. She's been having trouble finding it. And then I kind of, it was a thing, like I hadn't even thought about it for a long time. I was just like, just go to Amazon and look for a circular metal and I'll have something and whatever, spend whatever it is.
Yeah, no,
$40, $50. But then today we were riding to Home Depot and we're getting stuff. And she was talking about the sign again. I was like, oh, I mean, Dustin has a bunch of scrap stuff.
Yeah.
Because at first I was thinking of like the corrugated roofing.
Right.
And I was like, well, maybe you could do that, but it wouldn't stick on right. And I was like, well, Dustin's got that roofing and he had some left. And I was like, oh, well, Dustin's got a bunch of stuff. So I was like, I'll talk to him. Yeah. I'm sure he's got something.
Yep. Yeah, no, definitely. And like, you know, like I said, it's big flat sheets that I got from Nicole and I don't have, like, I want to have them so I can say yes to stuff like that.
Right.
Be like, yes, I do have a big flat sheet of aluminum that I got for free. It's like I want to have it around so I can use it when I need
have
to
it
use
around
it.
And you'll still have the chunks on the corners to like make, like you said, little brackets and little things. And
I have two big sheets, so they're like, they're like 45 by 45, like they're big squares, you know, so it's plenty. So, yeah, that'd be cool.
Cool.
And then just like, you know, you can cut it with just like regular jigsaw, cut aluminum. So
yeah,
cut it in them. Yeah, Cool. Yeah, so back to the laser engraver. The company reached out to us a little while ago, and so they're called Laser Pecker, and they have a few different ones. They have like a woodpecker, a little symbol. And they have the Laser Pecker 1, 2, and 3, and each one does a different thing. It's not they are like additions, you know, like iterations, but they also do different things. So the Laser Pecker 3 is specifically for engraving steel and plastic. That's their two things. So, nice. Which is what I would want to use a laser engraver for. Now, obviously if I had like a big laser cutter and stuff, that'd be cool too for all sorts of stuff. But Sean's got one, so I don't need one. but yeah, so I'm really excited. They had reached out to us, and we kind of conversed back and forth about a month and a half or so. And I kind of sent them all the information that they requested to send it over. Mm. And then it like never showed up, and I was finishing school, and you know, it was just busy time. So then maybe 2 weeks ago or so, I just sent an email being like, hey, you know, I never received this, and I've been really busy, so I was just kind of checking back in to see what's the deal. And I got a response from a woman who was not the person we were originally talking to, but she was saying that the other person who I was talking to had gone on maternity leave, and so she was kind of following up on the orders. And
they're so dead.
Yeah, but she did. Yeah, so sure enough, she like followed up, and we kind of just went back over the kind of verbal agreement of what type of video they would like, you know, for us to have the laser engraver. So super excited to get that, because now I'm like thinking about all the cool stuff that I can engrave the Art of Craftsmanship logo on too.
yeah
and, like, so obviously knives, you know, that's like one of the biggest things. That's the reason why we came up with, or what the reason why I thought to like make a more symbol version of the Art of Craftsmanship logo was because I wanted something that could work as a logo for whatever, you know, for stickers, for something that would be relatively recognizable, but also simple, that it can be made really small to be used as a knife logo. So, and yeah, so I've had the idea to do that, and I've tried a couple times doing like electro etching with some different, you know, varying successes. And I never actually bought electro etcher. I thought about it a couple times, but I didn't really want to make my own. In my mind, I figured I was like, well, if I'm going to do it, when I do it, I'll just get like the right thing to do it well. Right. Yeah. So I'll get like, you know, a manufactured like personalizer, whatever they call them, get like the real thing with all the right, you know, settings and just do it.
Yeah. It's like once you hear about it's like, all right, step 36.
Yeah. Right.
He's like, forget it.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
it's not worth, right? We're always talking about what's worth your time and the make it buy it thing. But it's like, and it's like the fifth confusing thing they've explained to you.
Right.
And there's a lot like, well, even like, me, now I know sometimes I screw it up and blah, blah. You're like, I forget it.
Yeah, right. No, nope, not worth
it. Now it's like, and then, you know, it's like, well, you got to buy this thing and then that, and that's $20 and this thing. You got to get a good one. So that's $100. And then get a base, and if you have this, you can, maybe that's another 30. And you're like, well, now it's
Now I'm like $500
into it. $200 more, I can get a perfect thing.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. So when they reached out, I was like, ooh, yeah. You know, like okay. And that's like something that is, you know, in the realm, the price range of something that I wouldn't have bought. You know, I wouldn't have gone to that if I was going to do it. I wouldn't have gone to a laser engraver, at least not as a hobbyist, you know, like if it was something where it's my business, of course, if it's easier, you just put it under it and you shoot it for 2 minutes and you got your engraving, like why not? You know, like if that's something there. Right. And, what was it? I think it was, 419 Blades. We were at Blade Show. He mentioned, he's like, oh, where's your maker's mark? And I was like, I don't put them on there. You know, like, especially with like these type of knives, things I'm making for myself. I don't, but that was the thing. I hadn't done it. You know, I was like, I stamp axes when I make axe, you know, I'll do like the AOC and the date. I'll stamp them on the handles. But I thought that'd be cool. Like I can laser stuff on the handles. I can also thought about the idea of, stamping or like engraving my logo on axe heads that I make for myself or even send out to other people. You know, like I have a double bit axe that was a no name. So it didn't have any markings on it. And back in 2018, I stamped like my initials DCO, and then I put a line underneath it, and below the line I did 2018. I thought that looked really nice, you know, and I was like, that's cool. You know, it's like, I, So years ago when I was in college, I took a Sumi ink drawing class. So all the like Asian scrolls and things you see and paintings are done in Sumi ink, or that's kind of the base. The black ink is called Sumi ink. And one of the things that I learned is that the red stamps that you see on those, like you'll see the different Chinese or Japanese character, depending, you'll see those red stamps. Those stamps are the owner's stamps.
Right, so
it's not the like signature. The signature is on it somewhere. Usually it's written on with the ink. And then maybe like they might have a stamp as well. But then like every person who's owned that afterward will stamp the art as well. So it's like it shows like the lineage of, you know, this piece of artwork, which I think is kind of cool. It like shows where it's been and whose hands it's been through. And so I thought about that a couple years ago, like that would be cool to do some type of stamping on the axes that I get, you know, and be like, it was this stamp. It was this axe head, you know, it's like a Kelly Perfect and whatever. And, you know, and then the Art of Craftsmanship had it this time, you know, and then like 80 That's years or cool. 90 years down the line, like someone else gets it and they're like, oh, cool. This is this. And they had it in their collection and now it's here, you know,
that's
like,
a good idea. And that's a good, what's another word for cop out? That's another good way to what people, the negatives would say that you're ruining something original.
Right. Yeah.
By putting your own stamp on it. But like you said, something that's made has a million of them, it doesn't really matter.
Right. But yeah, exactly.
Would you, I mean, obviously you could make whatever logo, but what about some type of call back to that style where maybe it's maybe the logo is in that type of rectangle style.
Right, right, right.
Like the writing is kind of squished into it in a nice way to fill it out. Obviously not Japanese characters, but you know, maybe the art, art fills it, and then craftsmanship, and like maybe craftsmanship, you know, two different things, like to fill it out, and a nice date on it, just to make it look as nice as a Japanese character would.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, that's a good idea. And,
it's a bit of a nod to what it is.
Yeah, because I was thinking like doing the AOC logo would be cool, but I also really liked when I did my initials with the line below it and then the date below that. Mm-hmm. Like it was the symmetry of it, top to bottom was really nice, and I did it on the double bit, like right in the middle. So it's actually not like my name's not horizontal across the axe head. It's vertical with the line straight up and down, and then 2018 on the other side. So the line splits the double bit from side to side. Mm-hmm. Like I thought that was kind of a cool looking logo. And you know, like almost all axe heads, and not all of them, but almost all of them are only stamped on one side. So then you have a blank side on the other side, which is like a blank canvas. So I was thinking recently, I wonder if I should, you know, reach out to the like axe making community on Facebook and see what people's opinions are on that.
Oh, I think what do you think?
I think I should do it too. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that's all that really matters, because it's the axes that I own. You know?
Right. And that's, so. I mean, that's how you could sell them.
Right. Yeah.
Obviously to turn around, whatever, Kelly Perfect or Craftsman Boys or whatever, any of the whatevers, it's fine. Then it's just a thing. Then it's just, well, the market says that's worth $40 for the head and you put a handle on it. So I'll give you 70, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But
yeah,
if it's your thing, hey, this is my, like the stamp, this is the Art of Craftsmanship thing. It's from me. I took time to hang it. I took time to put my etch on it, my lineage on it.
Yeah. Right.
And now you can have it. And then, you know, you can always add to it, or you just have something with the AOC logo on.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, there's an axe maker and craftsman, Glenn Hayworth, who's, his Instagram is Howling Winds Axe and Tool. And he's done that with axes. So he'll take an axe head and he'll regrind it and reshape it. And then he puts on his logo on it and stuff. And then he's come up with a line of axes, which he calls the Revenant line. And they're all kind of like spiky and cool looking, but like, he's just doing it, you know, he's doing a lot of grinding and then reheat trading them and stuff like that as well. But he's not making new axes, you know, he's using pre-existing ones. Like he was just working on a True Temper, fireman's axe, doing like one with a big spike on it and stuff. So, you know, and I like, I don't know from his perspective whether or not, like, he gets a lot of, you know, comments about whether or not people think that's cool or not, but everyone that I know about, all of the community seems like they enjoy what he's doing, you know, so
I think
it's cool.
Yeah,
and that's like, you know, I'm not planning on doing that. Like, although when I do the, like, the bushcraft axe, you know, mods using old half hatchet and modding those, like, I don't care about that, you know, like, and that would be a perfect thing, right? Like, remod something and then put your mark on it, or just clean it up. Like what I did with the Craftsman Boys axe, you know, it was a Michigan pattern, which I didn't really like. So I just ground the pole flat and got more of that, you know, more of an angular look to the whole thing. And then, and then reground it and put it on the axe head. So like, I did a decent amount of work getting that back to a usable, you know, a usable axe head. So that work, you know, put into it coming through my shop and going on a new handle and all is like, I think that's worth a stamp. I think that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like it. I like it.
And the date, like, I like the idea of doing a date, you know, that's kind of a cool, mm-hmm. like there are council tool axes. They'll do for a while. They do a logo, a council tool logo, and then it would say like USA and it would have the date. So like USA 20 or 18 or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so
no, yeah, it's like, cool. That's cool. I think especially with the, availability of like stamping stuff and etching stuff. And
yeah,
it would be cool if you got one with someone's name on it. Like, imagine if you got a 50-year-old axe with someone's, like, information on it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a whatever. It's really cool. Oh, and it also has, like, three stamps on it. This guy had it from 76 to 80.
Yeah,
this
right.
This guy had it from 85 to 92. Like, this is awesome. And then, you know, and then if it's got an art of craftsmanship, you know, they can go back in the old YouTube records, whatever it's going to be in 40 years.
Yeah, right.
And like find old videos. Like, oh man, that's this some guy had like these videos.
Yeah, right. And here's his, like, you know, here's a video of him making this axe. Like, how cool is that? Yeah, it's like there's the what's it? Axe to Grind. I can't remember the guy's name, but he's like the kind of older dude who there were some great videos on him making and hanging axes and talking about how the U.S. Forest Service would do it and like the right way to do it and all. And, you know, when you, like, those axes that he hung and that he used are still in the community, like, people still have them. So, like, occasionally they'll come out and be like, oh, I have this head from this guy. And you can watch the video of him in 1974, like, hanging this axe on this handle. like, oh, sweet, you know? Like,
yeah.
Just cool to have that, that history and that record. I think that's cool. Like, I like the idea of claiming. So that's the thing too. It's like, I feel honored to have them and I feel confident enough in my ability as a collector and as a, like a restorer that if I put my stamp on it, I'm saying like, I had this and I did work to it and you can be confident that the work that I did was good work to it, you know? So it's like a seal of approval, you know, or like that's what a maker's mark is, right? You're saying like, this is the person who made it. I'm proud of this thing.
I cleaned it up at the time. It looked good. So
yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Since,
it's not on me.
They're like, ooh, this is rough. Yeah, that'll be cool. And that, like I said, I'm working on those on the sheep shear knives. And the same thing, you know, like I'm not making the steel for the knives, but you know, but I'm taking the blade and I'm regrinding it, reprofiling it, and then putting a new bevel on it.
You're making a whole new thing. It's something totally different.
Yeah. And so those I'm thinking that'd be cool to have the video and like finish that with etching on those or maybe even an axe head or something. We'll see. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So that will be, that'll be out within a month or so because it has to be. And then the last Blade Show video to come out will be from us, like a month or two after Blade Show. But we just got it done today. Dust came over and did a little voiceover for all the chunks of stuff I had edited up. I got the beginning and the end, and then I kind of edited stuff in like, this is people we know, this is knife, this is business, this is like the guys you wanted to meet. And then we kind of figured out how we should slot them in, and then just did little 30-second voiceover clips and kind of stitch it together.
Yeah. And I think that'll be good because I really, you know, watching some other people's videos of Blade, you know, I just really enjoyed seeing it again, you know, and, mm-hmm. and I obviously we were there, so there's a different like enjoyment in that. But like, yeah, and then, you know, when people were talking over top of it, that's fine, you know, but like really the cool part was just seeing everyone there and, you know, being, oh, I recognize that person. Oh, there's that person, you know, mm. like having all those great makers all in one place, just a really cool, you know, a cool event. So it's, I was excited to see all that and then, you know, excited to talk a little bit over them, you know, be like, this is where we did this, or this is what was really fun about this part of it, you know?
Yeah, so we'll have that out soon because it's pretty much done. I just got to squeeze everything together, add a few more bits and bobs. But
nice, right on.
You know, that'll be out before the next podcast.
Cool. And the day after the next podcast, so next week, next weekend, we'll be going up to Pennsylvania and visiting with our friend Adrian from Hickory Homestead Creations at her farm for the Friends on the Farm event. So. That's going to be fun. Yeah.
Really
excited about that.
If people want to go, I think it's open to everybody.
It is.
She's basically taking donations and just opening her home up and putting herself out there. And I think if you're nearby, you should maybe go. And I mean, at least you'll get to chat. If you're listening to this, you'll get to talk with us because we'll be there and hear more of us. It's going to be the same exact thing.
Yeah, so it's Friday. What's the date of it? It's like,
what's next Friday?
Yeah, so it starts next Friday. So it's Friday night and Saturday night. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday at her farm. And we will be there Saturday and Sunday. So we'll be going up on Saturday. And what's that? So the 14th, 15th, and 16th.
Okay.
And I let her know we'd be there. And she was very happy about that. And also said that there's a lot of people coming in on Saturday. So that'll be the day to be there.
Yeah, we're gonna go up Saturday morning. I guess we'll go. You know, we'll head up early.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all day, and we'll camp overnight, and then I have to bust out of there early dust.
Okay.
So if you're okay with that, we can go together. And because I got O's game the next day.
Okay. Yes.
That starts at 1:30. So.
You know, yeah, I think it's like 4 hours, something like that. Like four and a half.
No, and then it's like 2.5 for me.
No, it's over toward Pittsburgh.
I think it's 2.5 hours. Four is rough. Would be rough. I hope it's not four.
I hope it's not four.
Do you remember the town name?
New Paris.
I mean, it's on there. Paris, yeah, we're not saying any secrets. If you,
right.
If you guys want to go, you can. It's that hurt.
Yeah. Address. I see. Yeah, 2 hours and 44 minutes.
Okay. Oh, scare me.
Well, I thought it was like. No, yeah, I guess that's right, because Pittsburgh was like four, and I knew it was like between here and Pittsburgh.
Okay, so. All right, 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
from me.
Not bad. Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that'll be cool. I'm excited about that. It'll be fun, and fun to hang out with a bunch of people, and, you know, it's kind of it's a smaller get-together, which is kind of cool, too, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that, and she's been posting a little bit about it, so it's been getting me excited.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. We're going to... I don't know. Maybe we'll bring some bows. Originally, we're going to bring the contraption we were going to take to Maker Camp, but we can't, for some reasons, there's not going to be the same, shooting at Maker Camp that we thought there would be. Austin wants to try some smaller things out first and safety things, and we totally understand that.
Yep.
I won't be there to help out, so that hurts a little bit, too, how much stuff we can drag up there.
Right,
keep it organized and have, so... And, you know, I guess maybe we can bring some bows just for fun. Because it's just going to be fun and a good time.
If you saw that email, I reached out to Three Rivers to see if they wanted to be kind of like a partner sponsorship, but I have not heard back. Mm. So I got like an auto response that was like, thank you, we're sending your inquiry on to the right blah, 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 and they'll reach back out to you. So I just sent it to like the get in touch with me email, you know. So.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll just have to reach out again because, you know, I think that'd be cool and it's just something that like – I think it would be worth it for them to be a sponsor, right? To like, I basically just want them to give me some materials that I can use or give away at Maker Camp. So I just want to kind of go up as like, this is what I do. And here, these like, you know, arrow shafts are from Three Rivers or, you know, like, or this, you know, like maybe they'll send me like two extra draw horses or something, you know what I mean? Like something for people to use. And so, and they're like one of the bigger archery companies and something ones that I've used for a long time and have respected. So
I think we still need to get Austin to okay, some type of shoot off with a couple select people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like have one, like have a section in the thing.
Maybe I could do, maybe
where it's going to be shoot off with Dustin, whoever else wants to do it. Dustin, Jimmy, Roy Scott, Chris Cash, Justin Dietrich, like whoever wants to do it. Some of the other guys.
Yeah.
And or then just have it like a thing, like they do the smelting. Like, hey, come on by. We're going to be doing a little shoot off, and we're going to give a thing to the winner.
Right. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Mm-hmm. I could propose something like that.
And be like, look, we won't shoot other than Dustin may shoot. Like, you'll just have a small target.
Maybe, right. Yeah, exactly. Maybe.
And, you know, be like 10 feet. Just to, once you get the thing strung up, you got to shoot it. Or you'll have a couple demonstration ones, but
yeah, we could shoot like
if we have like 10 guys come or 10 people, and we'll have a little competition. It'll be fun, and we'll have like a prize, like you know, make up some like
some scoreboard
Renaissance festival. Yeah. You have a scoreboard and then a Renaissance festival like necklace.
Yeah, right. You
know? Or trophy. Yeah. Maybe that can be like changed every year. You could like etch someone's name on the trophy, and they can have it for a year, and then they got to bring it back.
A beer stein.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking it'd be kind of fun if, I'm assuming there'll be some type of make or burn. Maybe I could shoot, work on a bow and finish it in time to shoot an arrow into the make or burn.
The only issue is people are circled to the thing.
Yeah.
So if you miss.
Well, I'm not going to miss. Come on.
Well.
Man. I know what you're saying. Yeah. But if you miss, right.
Then if you miss, that's the
thing. Shoot a flaming arrow into the crowd. Ooh. They just need to put it down at the bottom, down low, like wherever this thing is I'm aiming at the bundle down low and shoot it from, 5 yards away, 10 yards away. Light it from, something off of there and then... send it off.
Fun
but
stuff.
But so. Yeah, originally we were thinking about bringing that type of thing up to Friends of the Farm. We talked to Adrian briefly about it at Maker Camp. We're like, oh, that'd be so cool, we should love to come up and do some bow stuff, and she was all about it, so we'll see. Maybe we'll bring some bows up there just to like shoot and have fun, see if people want to try them out, and
maybe we can have I don't know, we haven't even talked about it, but maybe we can have Adrian on before.
Oh yeah,
maybe we can do an early podcast.
Yeah, that could be cool. Yeah, I'll reach out to her and see if she wants to do something. Yeah,
do one a few days before and
get
people hyped up. If they want to come, they can hear all about it, what's going to go on.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, that'd be fun. Then we could put it out on Thursday or something, an extra day early. Sweet. Yeah. Cool. Anything else? I don't know. What do you got?
That's it. I mean, other than, you came up and did the thing today, and we ripped the... We
ripped the kitchen out.
Kitchen out.
The old kitchenette.
Most of the kitchen in.
Yeah.
Because we're putting in another room for my upcoming son.
Yeah.
He needs a little room to live in, apparently. So.
Yeah, apparently.
We're going to do that, and then tomorrow I'm going to get all the stuff from Home Depot, and we're going to start framing in a new wall and door and stuff and on Saturday. But Dust came over. And I drug him into some work.
Like, hey, while you're here doing the thing,
you'll never probably rip this stuff out.
That's what happened last week, like two weeks ago when I came up to work on the voice.
Hey, you come here.
You're like, this Blade Show video really takes a long time. You have to add more more voiceovers.
2 weeks from now, I'm like, man, I'm not done. I think I need some more. While you're here, you want to put up some drywall.
I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that sounds okay. I could do that.
And this week this time was easier than the door.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, the door.
Not
was
that
fine
the door
too.
Was that hard, but the door was more work. This was just unscrewing, shelving stuff.
Yeah, that took us
I just needed 20 minutes. I kind of just needed an extra hand to, grab stuff as it kind of fell down and.
Yeah, no, it was good.
I was trying not to rip the things from the drywall, so there's not
too much patching. Preserve as much as possible. Yeah,
that was my like. Kind of nightmare scenarios. You drag something, pull something, rip it from the wall, and it just pulls out a giant 1 foot patch of the thing that you got to patch up later. I got enough. I got enough like weird things I got to change and water lines. Right. I have to, cut off low under the house, and it's gonna be something.
Nice.
But yeah, that was cool. Appreciate it. Cool. Thank you. We got that done.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, and I, you know, again, I've got a lot of free time, so, you know, I know that summer is busier for you too because you got Orioles, but hopefully we'll be able to get a few more videos out coming out soon. We have some stuff on the books, and we'll have the Laser Pecker video coming out, and got some other things. I keep like finding things that I want to make, but I think would also be good videos. So I'm like, I want to do it. I got all this time, but I don't want to do it because I want to make a video. Like I have I want to make a post-vice stand. So, you know, if you imagine what Chris Cash does, those type of things, but not like really that, not quite as like elaborate as that. Like I have a piece of pipe, like, I don't know, 6-inch diameter pipe with a piece of square steel on the bottom that I want to like make into a stand, you know, and like in that, and I can cut a piece of something to go on top to be some type of tool holder as well. And then figure out a way to bolt that on. So like, I think that would be fun, you know, that'd make a fun video. And then, I have a couple axes I think would make like good axe restoration videos and remaking handles and stuff. So,
and we got a specific type of review video. We talked about 3 weeks ago that we're trying to get done, and we've got kind of a way we're going to review certain things. We got a Jimmy DiResta product. We have a James May product from Top Gear, which I had to stop drinking because it's halfway. It's halfway done, so we have half a bottle to review.
Nice. You're like, we got to do these videos.
I already give it 10 out of 10, but
otherwise it's got to be. I got to buy another bottle.
We got to do it soon. I'm not buying another $55.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. Yeah, we've definitely got some fun things on the book. So hopefully we'll be able to get some time together and hang out and shoot some stuff, because I've got the time, so now I just got to make the time.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, my recommendation this week is actually going to be Howling Winds Axe and Tools, since I talked about him earlier. Glenn Hayworth, you can head over and find his stuff on Instagram at Howling Winds Axe and Tool, all one word. And, he does some really cool stuff and just like, you know, a good axe community guy, and always kind of posting some fun stuff about axes and showing what he does. And he takes some fun liberties with axe heads and does some cool things with them, which is a little bit different than what a lot of people do in the community, which is why I was a little bit hesitant, you know, but people do it and he does a good job. So, you know, I think that's in the end, that's kind of what it's about, is like doing something that you're proud of. And then if you do that, then, you know, it's worth it to tell people in the future that you did it. So yeah, that might be it, but check him out. He does some cool stuff. And also I'll shout out real quick, Daniel Donnelly from Donnelly Brothers Metalworks. His birthday was just a couple of days ago. He turned 26. So happy birthday, Daniel. And there was kind of a cool video that his girlfriend reached out to a few axe guys in the community, and they did like a little video saying happy birthday to him. So that was sweet. So it was cool to see that.
And you weren't included?
Yeah. I was not included. That's okay.
How dare her.
That was like, it was like four people, so it was fine. Yeah. You know. Well, you know, there's some people should be in those four.
Fine. You're dead to me. That's fine.
No, it's funny. He did one of his videos. So he's up to like, you followed along. So Daniel's been doing this axe challenge where he's splitting wood every day for an entire year. He's doing a reel every day, and he's up to like 330. Like he's close. He's like almost like a month away from doing a whole year. And so he was doing one the other day, and he had this balloon sitting that was like a, you know, a 26, and it was all in like a checkered pattern of all these different shape, different colors and stuff on the balloon. And when I first saw it, I was like, what is that weird like wooden snake thing, like with weird different colors painted all over it? I was like, what is that? And then I saw, as like, I was like, oh, it says 26. And then I read the caption, it was like, you know, he said his 26th birthday, which is kind of funny, because then like he split a piece of wood and it like flew across and hit the balloon and stuff. So that's good.
Nice.
But yeah, it's kind of cool. So he's just turned 26. So happy birthday, Daniel. And you can check out him and check out Glenn on Instagram. Good axe community dudes.
Nice. I what did I say earlier today? I was like, that should be my recommendation. Do you remember?
I do not.
Dang, it was something we were talking about, and I had said, I think I was like, yeah, go check this out.
Oh, another thing I've been watching, I'll give another recommendation while you try to think about it.
While you try
is the YouTube channel Insider. So they do a lot of what they call like, why is this so expensive? And then so they do like basically a documentary on basically the best things that are made in the world, you know, and why they're so expensive or like the most rare, you know, like there's like a purple that's made out of a dye that comes from a certain gland from a snail that you can find in the ocean in India, you know? And so there's like, why is it expensive? Because it takes like a shit ton of work to get, you know, a few ounces of this thing or so it was really good. So I've been watching that recently and there was just actually there was one on a knife maker and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's a master bladesmith. Looks like he's probably in his like late 30s, early 40s, you know, maybe 50s. It's hard to tell, but a younger guy and they did a episode on him and, you know, like why are Damascus knives so expensive and stuff. So that was kind of cool, you know, seeing that through that perspective of that channel. It's good.
Right on. Yeah, I can't remember mine. I will say, if you go to the Art of Camera Guy and you look up my recent post, you will get to see one of the greatest commercials of all time. I'll just say that. So go to that. And I dug that up because I could not find it on Instagram as a reference. There were a few reference shots of that commercial. Like George Washington standing next to the car with a flag waving.
Right.
But I couldn't find the whole thing. So I, on 4th of July, went in, found it on YouTube, screen captured it off the computer.
Nice.
Sent it to my phone. It was too big on my phone, so I got an app to make it smaller and trim it to where I wanted to trim it. And then I uploaded to Instagram. So the whole thing's there. I don't know. It's just so well done. It's funny and good and the music's perfect and it's so well shot.
Yeah.
It is like the perfect commercial. It's just goofy enough where it doesn't take itself seriously, but it still hits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the music is still, so you got this, I'll set it up and you guys can go watch it. It's got like this Ken Burns
documentary type feel.
Documentary violin, you know, you hear in like Civil War, like this real kind of heart wrenching violin, that type of nice, like, like you'd hear in a Ken Burns documentary. That time. And then it's just this beautifully shot, like a British regiment, like hiking. And then you see this young guy running, a red coat, and he comes running out of the woods like full speed all the way to him. And you see whatever the captain or whatever, and he's like, what's going on? And there is very little audio.
Yeah.
It's just this violin. And the kid is panicked and he's yelling. And then, you know, okay, it's the British. They got a British flag. It's shot really well. They start to turn and they aim their guns in the right direction. Right. And then, like I said, no sound, just this violin. And then you hear like the rumble and roar of of a car engine, of a V8, right? And then past the cameras, boom, fly three Dodge Challengers. The center one has an American flag hanging out of it. And then you switch back to the shots of the guy starting to react and freaking out. And then another shot of the Dodge Challenger's coming at the camera and there's like this swinging movement, really good, right? And the music's starting to swell. And then there's this little 1 second shot of George Washington driving the middle one with a kind of a serious face, but a little bit of a smirk, right? Like, let's go, here we go, right? And then you go back to the shot of the people lined up and one guy turns and panics and runs. And then it's a shit show of people running and turning and freaking out, right? And then more of the Challengers sliding around and the people are falling off horses. And then you see more American soldiers running behind them top speed, like attacking. Yeah. And it's like, and then the line is, here's a couple things America got right. Cars and freedom. Like it's a little defiant in the way he puts it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're shitting on a lot of things. But here's a couple things we got right. Yeah. Cars and freedom. It's such a broad thing.
Yeah.
But it still so works and it still hits. And then the violent ends. I mean, it ends with like the cars and it just fades to black. It's just so well done.
Yeah, it's
so
like
well
Washington just standing outside of the challenger and the challenger's lined
and
up.
And the
yeah.
flag's going and it's like he's posing for a painting and smiling. Yeah. And there's the three challengers there and then the one man. With the flag and the mountains in the background. It's so one of the greatest, like truly, like it's funny, but it's so well done. And it's just everything they wanted to hit, they hit,
I think. Yeah. No, it's so good. When you posted that, I was like, yes, I'd forgotten about that commercial. Mm-hmm. It was so good. Oh. Challenger.
Dodge Challenger.
Yeah. There you go. Happy 4th of July.
Yes. I was like, that's America. That's the video I want to post. It's just braggadocious enough, but it works and it's funny and it's a little crass, but kind of not, but it's so well done. You just can enjoy it. And I think everyone can enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
They're muscle cars. Muscle cars are a little ridiculous.
Right.
So the ads should be a little ridiculous. And I mean, the whole concept is kind of silly. But like I said, if it works, it works.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Two things will be got right. Cars and freedom. Nice. Sweet. Yeah. So check that out. I'll put a link.
So you can just
Devin's own Instagram. That's great. Yeah. No, that's a classic. Like I said, when I saw the other day, when you posted that, I was like, oh, this is so good. So good. And they build it up, the anticipation, like what's going to happen? What's going to come out of the woods? You know,
they're freaking out. The kids running and screaming. They turn and then just the three Dodge Challengers come flying by the camera and just skidding through in the flag. And then you just see that 1 second shot of George Washington driving the middle one.
Driving, yeah.
That's so good.
Nice. Well, on that note, thank you guys for listening. It's been a good one. Make sure you don't forget to head over to YouTube. Like Devin said, we will be putting the new Blade Show video up shortly, so you can head to YouTube and check us out there. Subscribe if you haven't already, and then when that video comes out, let us know what you think about it, because Blade Show is awesome, and it was really fun for me to go back and watch all that footage again. And like I said to Devin, I was having trouble talking over it because I was trying to wanted to listen to what I was saying, because there's audio of me talking to different people. I was like, oh, so much fun, you know, seeing people like, oh, there's that guy. So that'll be fun. Check that out. And then you can also head over to Instagram and follow us both there and check out Devin's awesome commercial, best commercial ever, at The Art of Camera Guy. And you can follow me at The Art of Craftsmanship. And then if you want to be able to support us even further, and those of you who do, we really appreciate it. But those you can head over to patreon.com/ The Art of Craftsmanship, and you can support us there. And that's as little as, I think it's even like $1 a month. So, you know, any little bit helps, and it all goes back into what we do for you guys on the channel and for the podcast. So thank you all so much for those people who do support us. And then everyone else who listens, thank you too, because that's awesome as well. And it's super cool to talk to people and know that these conversations are getting out there and people are listening and responding and kind of, you know, reaching back out to us of things that happen on the podcast, which is always kind of fun. So thank you guys.
Yeah.
All right, Deb, anything else?
No, here, why don't we let, you want to let
the audio take us out?
Play us out.
All right, guys, we'll finish on this. So thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Here's a couple of things America got right: cars and freedom.